Okay, welcome back. And another weekend has come and gone as we move into the last week in October already. It is a singular honor to spend the next hour with a man that many of you perhaps don't know too well. You've heard his name. He's been around quite a while. His perspective, his vision, his brilliance, his research, and his writing have carved a place for him permanently in the history of true American patriotism and academic brilliance. He is officially an American political writer, an author, a biographer, and the last surviving protege of the famous 20th century intellectual and writer Ezra Pound. Eustace Mullins is also one of the truly great conspiracy investigators and researchers that has ever lived on American or any soil for that matter. He's also been accused of anti-Semitism by the Anti-Defamation League and others, as have I in this program, and virtually anyone who criticizes the Zionist racist state of Israel, which is what it is, and many other things are pertinent there too. But we're, again, more than fortunate to spend some time with Eustace tonight, and I hope to do this actually fairly often in the months ahead as we literally walk through some of the most treacherous times imaginable, which is where we are now. Welcome to the program, Eustace. It's been a number of years.
Oh, it's good to be on your program again.
I don't remember when the last visit was, but it's been too long ago, so we're going to make up. We're going to make up for lost time.
Oh, sure.
Here we are, sitting and watching the ticker tape of news move by. Oil, 93 a barrel. Gold, heading toward $800 an ounce. The dollar, meanwhile, sinks to a pathetic all-time low. But the Dow Jones, Eustace, is 13,870. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, the people, the money boys on Wall Street are having a great time. They're having fun.
At the expense, once again, of what's left of the American middle class. The Dow Jones continues to, every time I look at it, I honestly laugh. Do you see parallels? A lot of people try to draw parallels, but do you see parallels with 1929? In terms of the Dow, or will the plunge protection team be able to hold things together? You there, Eustace?
Oh, yes.
What do you think about 1929 and where we are now? Do you see any real comparison?
1929 was a purely Federal Reserve operation. You see, they were the bankers on Wall Street were trying to help out England in their gold crisis. And so they raised the price on short-term money and brought on a depression.
And what's
but
really...
The standard manipulation wasn't anything particularly difficult to it.
Right, right. And guess who was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange that day, ladies and gentlemen, watching and observing? Winston Churchill.
Oh, yes. Winston was in real money trouble at that time. And Bernard Baruch was bailing him out.
Bailing him out, buying him, and owning him for life. And
that's
so,
right. Actually, Bernard Baruch created the Churchill-Roosevelt partnership by putting up the money.
I see. All right, let us switch over now to what we call the American political process now. And this absurd campaign season, which goes on for close to 2 years now, this morbid exercise in nothingness that somehow people continue to watch without vomiting. It's amazing.
Well, they still watch soap operas, too.
They do. They do. So what do you think about all these lunatics? Now, I'm going to accept and leave Ron Paul out of the conversation for a minute, but let's lump the rest of them, shysters, hustlers, nobodies, has-beens, retreads, and all the rest of it. Let's lump them together now as a group of America's finest leaders that have been put forward and have walked forward to offer to take this country forward. What do you think of them?
Well, they don't offer anybody anything, and I think they're campaigning to run for office on Jupiter or to Mars, because it has no relation to this country or this planet.
That's a very good point. I don't see the relation. I agree with you.
No. And the American people don't see the relation.
No. And yet they stage these hideous so-called debates. Hillary Clinton is obviously the pick. We're going to, I guess, tragically be faced with 8 more years of the Bush-Clinton regime. What are your thoughts on Hillary?
Well, I think that people are fed up with Hillary Clinton. I don't think they'll vote for her. And it's extra. This campaign, television said today, is now wide open. They feel that the front runners have lost it and that the thing is up for grabs.
That's assuming, Eustace, a fair and equitable legal election process.
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't really assuming that.
I know you aren't, but I mean, that's when you see the mainstream media talk about that. It's misdirection, folks. It's to make you all think that you really might have a chance to make a statement by voting for someone who's going to do something different. By the time people get to that level in politics, Eustace, how many times have they been bought, sold, and compromised?
Every time, without exception.
And what are the mechanisms by which you think back some of the people in your lifetime and in ours? What are the tools of the trade of co-opting someone and taking charge of them?
Well, it's very simple. They have brought things to the past to where people are fed up with everything, and so anybody can offer them a piece of candy and they'll grab it.
Is it true, in your opinion, that the level of blackmail, extortion, set-up, influence peddling, pressure, threats, has never been higher in politics in this country?
Way up there, yes. You notice they're still showing The Godfather on television, and you notice in The Godfather nobody goes to jail.
That's a good point.
Well, I think it's produced from that very standpoint.
Well, gangsters are... Gangsters, you know, doesn't matter what you call them, politician gangsters, criminal gangsters.
Well, gangsters are gangsters.
What about the people who continue to hope and pray that George Bush will be impeached? How do you even begin to approach people like that who, God bless them, you know, they know something's wrong. And they think that the process
Clinton
is going to save
and
them.
Bush had the MENA, Arkansas drug operation, I don't say either one of them could ever be impeached.
Right. Well, we know Clinton was, and but that whole thing was...
He was. That was the Senate. They bought out the Senate on that.
Did you see in the news yesterday this House resolution that has now passed the House called H.R. 1955. Did you see that?
Oh, is that the new hate crime legislation?
Well, it is that, but more.
More.
It certainly is. The hate crime bill itself was recently stifled in the Senate. But this one is a whopper. And let me just recap it for any of you who may have missed it, because it's one of those things that's literally beyond belief. The House of Representatives passed it. 404 voted for it. 6 voted against it. They call it the Thought Crime Prevention Bill in slang, but formally it is known as something. It's got one of those great names that people will look at and think, oh, gee, that's got to be good. But one of the key parts of it, and read it, I've got a whole featured story section up on it at Rents.com. And if you look at the individual parts of it, you'll find things that will literally shock you. It's called the violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism prevention act of 2007. The violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism prevention act of 2007.
Well, we don't even have foreign terrorism, much less homegrown terrorism.
Thank you. Once again, you cut right to the point. This bill, if it is passed into law, will also establish a new national commission, a bureaucracy, so-called Center of Excellence, to study and defeat so-called thought criminals. Now, you've always been a man who has stood for freedom of thought, freedom of inquiry, because you believe in the Constitution and as the supreme law of the land.
Well, I was the mentor of, my mentor was Ezra Pound, who always believed in the Constitution, and he brought broadcast the Constitution from Italy during World War II, for which he was indicted for treason by Elsie Hiss.
That's what got him indicted?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's exactly what it was. He was broadcasting the Constitution of the United States.
Verbatim. Word for word.
Verbatim. And they countered by calling him a fascist.
There you go, folks. See the mentality, the tricks, the entrapment.
Oh, yeah.
For doing nothing has been a part of our process. It's literally structural to our process. Stand by. We have to take a very short break. We'll come right back with Eustace Mullins in just a minute. Lots of bills come and go, but few have been more despicable than this one, H.R. 1955. Look under the featured stories section at rents.com. Look for thought crime legislation. D.V. Kidd wrote an article today about it. We put that up there as well. There are five excellent pieces there, including the list of the traitors who voted for this bill. 404 of them. 404 idiots, morons, and traitors voted for this bill. Just for fun, Eustace, I'm going to read a little bit of this for our listeners and then get you to comment on it if we can. Violent radicalization, the term. I know where they come up with these terms. They're amazing. Violent radicalization, as defined by whom, under what subjective criteria, of course. What does that mean? Violent radicalization. According to the Congress and the H.R. 1955 legislation, it means the process of adopting or promoting an extremist belief system for the purpose of facilitating ideologically based violence to advance political, religious, or social change. Gee, I think our founding fathers would be in trouble, wouldn't they?
They really would. I wonder if any high school freshman would understand that language.
Well, as you know, the tragedy of this country knows no bounds in terms of its plummeting descent into hell in terms of education and the competence of the schools. They've been taken over. The curriculum has been re-engineered, as you know, better than probably most anyone. It's turning out the exact kind of drones and morons that it's designed to now. So we have violent radicalization. Have you seen a time when we've heard such terminology? This is verging on sedition, of course, sedition laws. It's the same kind of concept.
Well, I don't think there ever has been any violent radicalization.
I don't know anybody who's violently radicalized by anything in the media or on the internet, to tell you the truth. And
so it puts you to sleep before it does that.
See? You rascal. You got the way with words. That's true. It will put you to sleep. There's so much crap out there, misinformation, disinformation, droning on and on of egos. It's amazing. The definition of homegrown terrorism uses equally vague language. Homegrown terrorism. What's it mean? What's it mean to you, Eustace?
Well, it doesn't exist in this country.
There it is again. What the Congress says, though, the term homegrown terrorism, first of all, the war on terror, the so-called war on terror that doesn't exist, Eustace, have you ever seen a bigger fraud in your lifetime?
That is the biggest fraud. Every time the papers print that term, the war on terror. I wonder what they're talking about.
Well, a lot of people listening would agree with you. I have no idea. I don't know of a terror event I can point to in this country except the staged one at 9/11 and the one that was permitted to happen, the first bombing of the World Trade Center back in, what was it, 91, I guess. Can't remember. But that was a staged event. So was the bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. It's absurd. All right, here's what the Congress says. The term homegrown terrorism means the use, planned use, or threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual who was born, raised, and operating primarily within the United States, or any possession of the United States to intimidate or coerce the United States government. What does it mean to intimidate the United States government?
What does that mean? I've never been able to do it.
That's wonderful. It can't add to that. Okay, so to intimidate the United States government. I don't know what it means either. It's so vaguely defined, it's a joke. And that's the idea, of course.
All of these things become a joke when you start examining them and discussing them.
Okay. We're talking about homegrown terrorism, whatever the hell that means. To coerce the United States government, what does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I think anybody's ever been able to do that.
Not that either. Or to intimidate or coerce the civilian population of the United States, or any segment thereof.
Or any segment. That is even one person.
That's right. So am I intimidating or coercing anyone out there? I guess I'm guilty of being a homegrown terrorist. Intimidation, of course, meaning challenging someone in such a way that they're made to feel perplexed, insecure, confused, scared, disoriented.
It's a threat.
It's a what?
A threat.
Of course. In furtherance of political or social objectives. Now, there you go. So what's a social objective? The prevention of...
platform.
That's right. The prevention of AIDS is a social objective. So if I intimidate or scare someone with the idea to try to help them understand that AIDS is spread through unsafe sex practices, I guess that might be intimidating or coercing the civilian population or any segment thereof.
You're intimidating somebody when you mention he's homosexual.
That's exactly right. Okay, so you see the lunacy, folks, very clearly, I hope. And remember the commission that will be in charge of this, if it is passed in the Senate and signed by the village idiot, will literally weigh, I guess, imprisonment sentences for people. They'll bring federal charges and all that.
Oh, yes. Every time.
There's a little more to this, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Then we're going to ask Eustace about the Iraq War coming up next. Mullins. Here are a couple more little tidbits from HR 1955, Eustace. The Congress finds the following. I'm quoting from this now. Number one, the development and implementation of methods and processes that can be utilized to prevent violent radicalization, homegrown terrorism and ideologically based violence in the United States is critical to combating domestic terrorism. Okay, that's a given. That's their premise. Number two, the promotion of violent radicalization, homegrown terrorism, and ideologically based violence exists in the United States and poses a threat to homeland security. There's a whopper. It's utter fiction, is it not? How do we approach something as absurd as this, which may indeed be the law of the land, as unconstitutional as it is, Eustace? They're talking about something that literally doesn't exist. So what do we do about it? Any comment on that, Eustace?
Oh, well, one thing that throws me for a loop is these constant appeals from Washington to the terrorists to attack our airports and our seaports and to bring dirty bombs into the country. They really are hard up to ask for all those things because the terrorists can't provide those things on a moment's notice.
So your facetiousness knows no bounds.
Yeah.
Here's the key, and I think this is really at the very center of this piece of alleged legislation. This is short. This is crucial. I'm sure most of you have heard it or read it by now, but I'm going to read it again. Number three. Now get this, Eustace. The Internet has aided in facilitating violent radicalization, ideologically based violence, and the homegrown terrorism process in the United States. The homegrown terrorism process in the United States.
Oh, I don't know about the process. I haven't studied that too closely.
And get this one. Here's the slammer. The Internet has done so by providing access to broad and constant Internet streams of terrorist-related propaganda to United States citizens. Okay? So what they're saying here, obviously, and it's not veiled at all, it's utterly transparent, the Internet has aided in homegrown terrorism in the United States by providing access, by allowing you folks to visit my website, to listen to my program streaming on the Internet, as an example. That's what they're trying to put an end to right here. They're trying to make it a federal offense that if they subjectively decide that this program is somehow encouraging homegrown terrorism, it's a felony.
Oh, yes. And the government has been trying to promote teenage sex on the Internet more than anything else. And it's failed utterly miserable, as far as I can understand.
Well, teenagers are having sex at the age of 9 and 10, 11 now after watching the media for so many years. We know about drugs. We know about the curriculum. They have literally gutted their second generation now. MTV was the opening gambit, and it has gone incredibly downhill ever since. So, go ahead.
Oh, I'm not really in touch with young people that much, and I don't know how far down they're going.
Well, you need binoculars if that gives you a hint. While the United States must continue its vigilant efforts to combat international terrorism, it must also strengthen efforts to combat the threat posed by homegrown terrorists based and operating within the United States. And those are people who use the Internet to stream audio programs, to bring news services to you like ours from around the world. Do you believe this is going on, Eustace? I mean, you saw it coming, but it's coming on so fast now and so wide open. Does it surprise you?
Well, I remember a few years ago when George Bush the first was the president, and he was going on television and complaining about the terrible damage that the radio talk shows were causing the country.
That's right.
That was the thing he was most worried about.
Well, now we have it in print that it is the Internet and its streams, audio streams, and its information that are creating and promoting homegrown terrorism. It's right here in the law. So these idiots, of course, are laughably saying, of course, this will not in any way, shape, or form violate our constitutional rights, when everything in it is a violation of our constitutional rights.
They've been doing it for years.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess this kind of thing doesn't surprise one, but is it really something that you thought you'd see this quickly? We've really been on a fast track to hell in this country.
Well, it amazes me how the state of Israel and Congressman Schumer in New York come up with these fantastic proposals to limit all freedom of speech in this country.
And where are we going to go, folks? Why are Americans not up in arms? Why, Eustace, aren't they out in the streets? Why do we have to get on the radio here and implore people to write or to phone their congressmen and so forth to oppose these things? What happened? Where did the American activism go?
I don't think the congressmen paying attention to these hate crime bills because they keep bringing them up every day there in Washington.
There, I don't know how many hate crime bills there are, and if they don't have a bill per se, you're right, they just make it an amendment and tack it on to anything they want.
And they're not really about hate crime. They're about freedom of speech.
Nothing, that's right. As all of you know, there are plenty of laws on the books in all the states to take care of any issues of true hate. It's against the law, folks, to violate. But when we were kids, we were taught what, Eustace? Sticks and stones, remember that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want your take on the pathetic, the disgusting, the outrageous genocide of Iraq and the so-called Iraq War.
Oh, yes, that is a real genocide.
Okay, we'll do that when we come back in just a couple of minutes with Eustace Mullins. Eustace, the so-called Iraq War, it's not a war at all. A war suggests some kind of equal footing. Go ahead and tell us your view of this, and I don't know. It is clearly a nuclear war because of the depleted uranium. It is clearly genocide. 1.2 million Iraqis have died under Junior's war.
Well, it's not only genocide. Shimon Peres, when he was Prime Minister of Israel, he swore to completely wipe out all the Arabs in the Middle East, and he proceeded to do everything he could to achieve that goal. And the genocide in Iraq is just part of Israel's program to wipe out the Arabs in the Middle East.
Now, some people might say, what are you talking about, Eustace? Israel's not involved in Iraq. Let's enlighten the people.
Well, Iraq has never existed because I went to the history books and I found out that Babylon had been settled for 600,000 years. So there has been a country there a long time, but Iraq didn't exist till the Versailles Peace Conference of 1919, when Woodrow Wilson conjured up a new nation in the Middle East, which he called Iraq. And it proved to be a gold mine for him because they certainly didn't expect a war like this.
The Iraqi oil reserves remain according to most reports, to amount to about the third greatest reserves, known reserves, in the world. And that oil, of course, is remaining in, as they say, deep storage. It's still in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it's going to stay.
They have no intention to bring it up because it would bring down the price of oil.
That's right. Which is over $93 a barrel.
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be, I'm sad to say, a very grim Christmas season. I want all of you to understand in your minds, whatever religion you are, that this time of year is reserved to honor the goodness that we have. And it's going to be the small things, I hope, that people rediscover this year. There is always something positive in every negative situation. And this is going to be a tough year, but we'll get through it. But we have to remain active. Now, this idea of using depleted uranium was, as you probably know, was discovered by the U.S. military in 1943, but they wouldn't use it in Europe or anywhere else because they didn't want to leave a virtual nuclear wasteland, which is what's happening, because depleted uranium has a half-life of 4 billion years. It doesn't go away. It's the gift that keeps on giving. What are your thoughts on the illegal use of nuclear weapons, which is what these are?
Well, that's one of the greatest crimes of all time. And it really shows the diabolical nature of these people that they would even use a weapon like that.
Who? Now, this goes back to Clinton, of course, in Yugoslavia. So let's try and define, if we can, define the enemy, Eustace. Who are these people? What is this consciousness? Who are, in fact, pulling the strings of the visible leaders? Who are these people?
Well, I described the origins of these people in my book called The Curse of Canaan. And the subtitle is The Demonology of History, because we've always had demonic forces at loose in this world, and we should be on the alert against them.
Now, when you say demonic forces, you're not being biblical,
no, being
scriptural. You're being very accurate and
very accurate, because history tells you that there have been demonic forces all through history.
And never has that demonology, that evil Satanism, that hideous consciousness been more in power than it is now.
It certainly is. So they have invaded the citadels of power, like Washington, D.C.
Well, they've taken over.
Yes.
Did you see a time, and I know it was forecast by others back in the 50s and 60s, when this cancer, this malignancy, would in fact succeed in taking over this country?
Well, I've tried to explain to people for many years that I wrote in 1945, if the state of Israel ever gets control of the American armed forces, we're going to see a period of war without end.
And the state of Israel has done...
The social creditor of England in London, but never appeared anywhere else.
And this, you predicted this even before the state of Israel formally came into existence.
Oh, it wasn't even started yet. I wrote this in 1945.
There were other observers at the time who predicted exactly what would happen, and one of them, like it or not, was Adolf Hitler. If you read his works and his later works and the official press of Germany in 1945, when the war was ending, the collectivization, the Sovietization of Europe, as we are now seeing, called the European Union, was clearly predicted by these people. They knew where it was going.
Well, Tehran was the ultimate realization of what Adolf Hitler feared when they turned Europe over to the Soviet Union.
When Roosevelt gave it to the communists.
Well, when Algiers gave it to him. See, at that time, Roosevelt was non-copus mentis.
He was. Yeah.
Oh, yes, but Algiers was fully alert at that time. That was his high mark.
You know what FDR's last words were supposedly? I have a terrible headache. He was poisoned, wasn't he?
Well, nobody knows. I actually know, knew Bill Hassett, who was the only person with him at his death. And Bill never talked about it because everybody wanted to know. But Truman actually moved him into the White House to keep him quiet, and he had to live in the White House the rest of his life.
Truman lived in the White House when? When did he move in?
He moved in when Truman took over the presidency.
Yeah. Oh, Bill Hassett did.
Oh, yeah, Bill Hassett did.
I got it. Okay. Now, we have a question from you by our colleague, D.V. Kidd, who has great respect for you, and she wrote...
Oh, I haven't talked to her for quite a while.
Yeah, she wrote to me and said, please ask Eustace this question. Are you going to be able to get Murder by Injection printed again, Eustace?
Oh, it's still in print. I'm still selling copies.
You are? Oh, very good. How can people get it?
Well, my nephew fills the orders, and the orders are sent to me here at the Christian Retirement Home.
Mm-hmm.
It's at apartment 101, okay. Stewart Strath, Virginia.
All right. So they're orderable online, I assume. Your nephew has them. Okay, so do a Google search for Eustace Mullins.
All right.
Classic book, Murder by Injection. D.V. said, and that you'll like this, she said, that book saved my life back in 1993 when I got the Beijing flu coming from California to Colorado. Long story, but I had not read the book. Anyway, she praises you, and there are, she says, some copies out there, but they're going for between $90 and $115 each.
I know people are asking awful prices for my books, but I still sell them very reasonably.
Okay, so they're still available at a good cost.
Oh, yes, they're new copies, and as I say, my nephew is handling the orders.
Very good. Now, there is a parent, we only have about 2 minutes left here, but a parent follows the federal Well Baby program. There are over 70 vaccines that are mandated.
Oh, my God.
In that program. Mandated now.
Well, that's what I call murder by injection.
That's exactly what it is. And there are dozens and dozens of vaccines coming along. You've heard about the latest for human papillomavirus called Gardasil? The Gardasil vaccine has killed, I think, almost 24 young girls now. It's supposed to inoculate them against the virus that will give them cervical and uterine cancer. Of course, it's a joke, and it won't. One account has, I just put up in the UK, three young girls have been killed already, 1,700 severe and serious reactions to it. So,
well, they have to solve the problem of autism before we go into these other things.
And autism, in your opinion, is laid right to the doorstep of the mercury and the vaccines, correct?
Oh, absolutely. It's a vaccine drug. I met autistic people all over the country, and it's really the worst crime that has ever been committed because these are young people in their early teens and 20s, and their life is over.
Their life is over. It's heavy metal toxicity and destruction, and mercury is cumulative. And think about it. The Well Baby program, 70 plus vaccines now mandated, and many of those with mercury in them. The so-called globalist plan to cull the herd, Eustace, do you believe they're going to take out 2/3 to 3/4 of the world's population fairly soon?
Well, I think they're doing it.
Yeah, well, every indication shows it. Would you suspect a big dramatic move to do so, or are they going to do it slowly so they can get rich to the maximum over it?
Well, I think it's definitely in the works because there's so much information going around now that the only thing they could do is call everything.
So, and you know probably better than anyone that organisms, viruses, mutations, recombinations thereof, they're weapons. They're extermination weapons. They're sitting on the shelf right now. They could just turn them loose anytime they want. Correct?
Oh, I think that the PMA, the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers of America, is the greatest villains in the world, and they are villains who deliberately produce these things.
Of course, they all do it under the name of national defense, don't they?
Oh, national defense and research.
I forgot about that.
It takes a lot of research to produce something that will kill the most people.
Yeah. Eustace, thank you. I want to call you and talk to you again in a few weeks, all right?
Oh, very good.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, take care.
All right.
Good night. Mr. Eustace Mullins, born 1927. Seen it all. We'll be back.